This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Yo, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. How you doing? Good weekend. It was a lot to digest of different things other than football, now that football is over. But you did get the XFL, and you also got some good college basketball. Speaking of which, the top four seeds at the midway point of the season were announced. This is kind of like a teaser to Selection Sunday coming up in mid-March. This is where the committee goes, hey, look, if it played out like today, here's what we're kind of looking at. Doesn't mean it's etched in stone, so don't lock it in with pen. But, of course, this is where our mind is thinking. Like in the South region, the number one seed is Baylor, followed by Louisville at two, Seton Hall at three, and then Auburn is having a really good year, coming off of a win against LSU over the weekend. Number one in the Midwest would be Kansas. Dayton, another good year for the Flyers at two. Florida State, one of the ACC powers, at three. Michigan State at four. Up and down season for the Spartans in terms of being at the top. Now the fall, back up again, back down again. In the West, in the Los Angeles region, it's Gonzaga at one, followed by West Virginia at two, but they just lost over the weekend to Oklahoma. Number three, Villanova, they just lost over the weekend to Seton Hall. And number four, Oregon. In the East, New York City, it's San Diego State out of the Mountain West, the only unbeaten team left in college basketball at one, Duke at two, Maryland at three, and Butler at four. This is kind of a teaser. Now, listen, I don't bring that up to sort of say this is where things are, but I like when they do this. I like this idea of kind of giving you an idea. Selection Sunday bracketology has become a kind of an art over the last two decades or so. People who really know how this works. It's not like this is my teams and this is where I rank them. It's really about where you think. It's trying to get ahead of the committee. That's where a good bracketologist is. It's not just saying, here's my bracket. Let's match it up with the bracket of the committee. A good bracketologist will think like the committee and say, look, this is where I think they're going to send these teams. This is where I think they're going to seed them. I think the committee likes this team for this reason. I think they're a little down on this team for this reason. Look, in the end, we all get our brackets. We all fill it out. I don't think anybody's really sweating out the small details. But it is kind of fun to know that in about a month, we're going to have this thing for real. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, coming up, Michael Irvin may have spoke a little out of tune. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, guys, you know when you're going to trim down there, it could hurt. It really can hurt. Manscaping can be a problem, but Manscaped has the answer. It's redesigned to the electric trimmer. The engineering team spent 18 months perfecting the greatest ball hair trimmer ever created and just released the new and improved Lawnmower 3.0. Third generation trimmer featuring a cutting edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. I'll tell you, this is premium. The battery lasts up to 90 minutes and you can take a longer shave. And one of the coolest features is the LED light, which illuminates the grooming area for closer, more precise trimming. They've also upgraded to a 7,000 RPM motor with a quiet stroke technology and the charging stand. You can show this off loud and proud. It's intelligently designed. It's rapid charging. It's powered by USB. If you're listening to me speak, you're one of the first people to hear about this life-changing product. I want you to experience it firsthand. And this is what you can do. 20% off plus free shipping with the code SBNation at manscaped.com. That is manscaped.com. Use the promo code SBNation. You're going to get 20% off plus free shipping. Trim that junk of yours. Your balls will thank you. Manscaped.com. Use the promo code SBNation to get this incredible deal. All right, so Michael Irvin went on a Boston area radio show and for whatever reason threw out the fact that the Dallas Cowboy organization, significant people, were discussing the possibility of the Cowboys trading Dak Prescott and signing Tom Brady. Not necessarily Dak Prescott of the Patriots, but just signing Dak, trading Dak Prescott away to sign Tom Brady. Now, can I just tell you, if you do this, if you make this kind of noise on a Boston radio station, it is going to be a big deal. This isn't a throwaway thing you just throw out there to see if it sticks. Maybe nobody's listening. Maybe no one's paying attention. He throws this out there and says significant people were discussing the Cowboys potentially trading Prescott and signing Tom Brady. Here was the problem. The significant people were not Jerry Jones or anybody within the Cowboys organization. Who was it then? Like Joe Smith at the bar? Who are these significant people that were talking about this possibility? Would I be considered a significant person if I was talking about it and Michael Irvin heard me discuss it at a restaurant?
Yes, you would be.
I think I would.
Are those his sources?
Right. Let's say Michael Irvin went to pick up some pizza and the guy behind the counter said, "Hey, Michael, what do you think about this? We trade Dak Prescott and then we go out and sign Tom Brady. Can't hurt, right?" And Michael Irvin left with the pizza and went, "Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I like that. I like that." And he gets on a Boston radio station and goes, "Significant people, like my pizza guy, is telling me that this is a good idea." Come on.
Well, it all depends. What kind of pizza place is it?
Well, it could be a really good pizza.
I haven't found a significant pizza place yet.
No, I haven't either.
But I will say it's significant.
I would take their word for it on sports information. I would be like, this is it. You know, this is like when your buddies get together and you know, like, because you have a little bit more insight on how these things work, and they go, "Yeah. All right, here's what we should do. We should take Philip Rivers and we should trade him for Patrick Mahomes, right? And like, we should get Patrick Mahomes, and then also we should get Sammy Watkins. Philip Rivers for Sammy Watkins and Patrick Mahomes, and then maybe beef up our defense in the draft, and then we go win the Super Bowl." And you're like, okay. That ain't going
to
work.
I think Patrick Mahomes should go to the Browns. You imagine him throwing to those two wide receivers?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why not a straight-up trade? Mahomes
straight-up trade
for Baker Mayfield.
That's right. That would work. Oh, great. And I think what we should do is fire our coach, and we should go get Belichick. We should just take Belichick.
Yeah, of course.
Put him on the team. And then, like, this is where Michael Irvin is getting his information. Like, unless you're willing to say who the significant people are, which, I mean, listen, as a journalist, I don't know if that's a good idea, but why not at this point?
Yeah.
At least tell us who you're hearing this from.
But regardless, the Cowboys aren't getting rid of Dak.
No. He knows better than this. But I also wonder how much of this is just having fun with, like, the local Boston media. Just like, I'll throw this out there, let them stew at this for a while. Yeah. He had to backtrack it on Twitter, but, you know, I would have rolled with it for a day or two and let it sweat.
Now, there is another rumor floating around out there that's kind of been gaining traction as well.
Which is?
Cam Newton to the Chargers.
Well, give me the little lowdown on what this might be.
I really don't know what the lowdown is. I just saw Cam Newton to the Chargers, and I was like, you know what? I'm interested.
Is it possible Cam Newton needs just a fresh start, get healthy and make a fresh start?
Listen, I mean, the one thing we know, Cam Newton definitely needs a fresh start. But the other thing that's out there is we need the Chargers need something.
They do need something.
I don't know what it is, but they need something.
I agree with that.
They're moving into that big stadium next year that they're not going to fill with anybody.
So interested in how that's going to work, man. I am so interested in seeing that firsthand, how that will play out, what the crowds will be like.
Man,
do you think
not...
the XFL will troll?
Oh, of course.
And be opening weekend, our crowd, 21,000. Charger crowd, 82.
1,000? No, 82 people.
82 people.
Just people. No more, no less.
Well, in Michael Irvin's defense, he came out later and said, "I never said Jerry or anyone within the organization said that to me, and it was not anyone with the Dallas Cowboys." So basically, no one. But, you know. Listen, people in Boston, I'm sure, are kind of wondering how this is going to go, right? I mean, I don't want to say on the edge because I don't want to speak for the fan base.
It is on the edge,
but
though.
I mean, you got to be like, where is he going to end up?
Well, I mean, he drops a photo 2 days or 3 days before the Super Bowl, and we're like, what does this mean?
Right.
It's black and white. He's at the edge of a tunnel. Is he coming? Is he going? What does that mean? And then it's find out, we assume it's for Hulu. I'm like, well, okay, that was kind of a want moment.
Yeah, when you watch the ad in the Super Bowl, you're like, that's what it was. Yeah. All right, well, that's ridiculous.
That was stupid.
Right.
But you still don't know. You don't know if he's staying. You don't know if he's going. Maybe Michael Irvin, for all we know, he could be right that the Cowboys are trying to work out a trade with the Patriots for Tom Brady.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're going to get rid of Dak Prescott. It just means that they want Tom Brady.
Isn't it the same as when you hear an interview with somebody, like especially in politics? They do this all the time in politics, but they do it in sports too, where they go, people are talking about you. Like, they don't want to come out and they just want to throw out the whole people are saying, and you're like, who's saying? I don't know. Just people. Just go with this. All right. People are talking. And that's, I think, it's what Michael Irvin might have done. Just be like, yeah, it's people. Who? I can't say people. All right. I guess I'm supposed to take this seriously now because you said so. But yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. Look, I'll be honest with you. There are things I get sick of, all right, like in sports where there is a new story angle to a story. But I feel like for the Tom Brady offseason thing, I'm going to suspend that because I am really curious as how he's going to close out his career. And I'm curious from a historical point because he is the greatest quarterback to ever play. He is the guy that
I'm still on the fence with that.
Well,
I know
all right, one of them.
It.
Let's just go one of them. That's not not the argument.
But
I would
throw postseason.
Okay, but I want to get into the idea that he's one of the greatest of all time. All right, if you want to go one of or the, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is that he may not end in retirement with the same team and put a bookend to it. That we may have these years on the back end of just kind of hanging around for an age. And I think it's a little different because you would think the Patriots would move heaven and earth to sign him, which is what they say they want to do. And then he's making the decision not to do that.
Yeah, bear with me here for a second. If you're going to be considered one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, don't you have to play for another team?
If you think
about it right now, who's your Mount Rushmore of quarterbacks? Pick four.
John Elway.
Okay.
Dan Marino.
Well, you're picking the two that didn't play for another team. You ruined the game already,
Terry
Tony.
Bradshaw?
You ruined the game already.
Joe Montana?
I was going to say Peyton Manning, Johnny Unitas.
I think you can make the argument both ways. I don't think it's a caveat to your greatness
that you played for somebody else.
Oh, I know. I'm saying... Like, what if Manning had stayed with the Colts and led them to two Super Bowls and won one?
That'd be different.
Right. We would say, well, okay, we don't need the example of you going somewhere else. But I do agree. I do agree that I'm very fascinated in what he could do with another team and another coach. Like, if all of us, like, remember when Joe Montana led the Chiefs to the AFC title game? Where they lost to Buffalo?
Yeah.
Like, you went, damn, this is great. Right?
But at that moment, we never thought Joe Montana or George Seifert.
Right. Well,
we knew that it was Joe Montana.
Sure.
This actually would give us the answer to that chicken and egg conversation.
Good point. Like if he goes to the Chargers and they actually make the playoffs and go deep and they like all of a sudden you're like, whoa, all right, let me look at that now. Let's process this a little differently.
Okay, what happened to Belichick during this time?
I just think for me, look, I know there's going to be people out there that are like, oh, I'm just so sick of every time he breathes, it's Brady news.
Oh, so
and I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. Like, it's going to get ridiculous. It's going to get crazy, and it's going to get insane. But when we get closer, the real stuff where like Adam Scheffler and Jay Glazer and the guys who are making phone calls every night, when they start talking about some rumors, I'm going to pay attention because I think for me, and this is just me, I'm not saying you should too. Me personally, I am curious of how this story ends. Because I've been fascinated with his career, his longevity. Last year's Super Bowl, I was like, guys, this guy's 41 years old. This is incredible. What are we talking about with this guy? That he's still doing this 17 years later. This is insane, right? Same kind of feeling.
And what's more insane about that is that, say he does stay with the Patriots, we have to assume that they're going to be relevant next year.
Yeah, sure.
And we're talking about a 42, 43-year-old quarterback now.
Exactly, exactly. And if he does make it to 45 and he says that's where he wants to go, God bless him. I mean, golly. But that's why I'm fascinated. And also I have no idea what he brings to the table to a team that's needing some work. Right? Belichick has put some pieces around him that's always been good.
If he go whatever team he goes to, it's a band-aid. Like if he goes to Chargers, it's primarily there to train the guy underneath him.
Yeah. Well, if he wants to. What if he doesn't have no interest in that?
No, hey, that's the role.
What if he says, I'm here to play, and if I don't play, it's up to you to train your quarterbacks.
I'm saying he'll play. But you're going to have a guy on the sideline who's going to be watching him.
Oh yeah, okay. So you're not saying become a guy that is tutoring a star.
No.
You're not talking like Daniel Jones is playing, and you're like, oh, you hope Eli will rub off some of that smart information on him.
No, because ideally with a rookie quarterback, you would want them to sit the first year or what the Chiefs did with Patrick Mahomes was perfect. You know, they had him sit most of the year and then said, you know what, the Chiefs were out of the running. Let's bring him in and just get him some NFL licks in, if you will. Yeah. And he played great. And then just like, all right, that allowed them to make that decision that, you know what, we're moving on from Alex Smith. We're putting all of our eggs in the Patrick Mahomes basket.
Right. So you're hoping that his stuff runs off Chargers, on the student.
Right? Yeah, okay, makes sense. And the Chargers use their sixth pick on a quarterback, then you got a guy on the sideline who can watch Tom Brady.
Yeah, because Eli Manning had no interest in training Daniel Jones until he was forced to.
Well, the training he wanted to do was, hey, kid, watch me.
Watch me. And then they went, nah, how about you watch him? And they were like, okay, guess I'll do that now. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. All right, I can see where that's going. All right, Jerry Palm's going to join us, CBS Sports. We're going to talk some college basketball kind of at the midway point as we get ready for a Selection Sunday in a little over a month. Where do we stand with the top 25 and some of the teams that are championship-ready good? I mean, there are teams that are good, but there are championship teams that are good. And we'll talk about that coming up later in the show. It's SB Nation AM.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, it's O'Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Stop in today for store-wide savings. Plus, earn double O'Reward Bonus Points on all sale items, like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and more. Not an O'Rewards member yet? What are you waiting for? Sign up today online or in the store and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast and easy and free. But hurry, because double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. So what was the thing you liked most about the XFL on this weekend? Was it the 1 or 2 or 3 point conversion from the 2, the 5, the 10? Was it the listening to the officials' microphones talking about penalties? Was it the... Remember when the sideline reporter would just, you should just go right and talk to a player immediately after it was play done. Like, what was it? Was it the intrusiveness of the halftime cameras into the locker rooms that we never get to experience? What was it? I mean, what was it? I don't know. The football was pretty good. I mean, I knew what it was. I never ever pretend when I watch these games that I'm getting, the best of the best. I know what I'm getting. I know where these guys are. These guys aren't NFL level players, but that's okay. I don't have to watch NFL level players, right? Look, if you understand the level you're watching, it does make a huge difference. Like, you don't go to a minor league baseball game thinking you're getting major league players. You might get a major league player that's on a rehab assignment, but you're there to watch baseball, right? And if the baseball is good, if the pitching is not great, it's part of the lore of minor league baseball. Usually it's the ballpark. Usually it's a summer night in a small town, et cetera, et cetera. You know, look, college athletics, for a lot of college teams, it's like that, where the athletics aren't top line, but you watch it because you're passionate about the school. And it's an athletic event. The XFL is an athletic event. If you're watching to see the kind of level of play that you see during the NFL, you know you're not getting that. Everybody knows they're not getting that, but that's not the point. The point is you're seeing football. You're seeing passionate football, guys who really want to make it, guys who, you know, don't have a lot of money backing them up where they can just live off a huge guarantee. I mean, these guys want to play. They want to be there. The quality wasn't terrible. I mean, P.J. Walker of Houston threw four touchdowns, looked really good, really good. Right. I mean, you know, Cardell Jones had some good throws. They had one guy plays for Seattle is Austin Prohl. If you remember Ricky Prohl from the Rams, that's his son. Right. I mean, there's a lot to like from this league. But I think what's going to be its success. OK, where the success is going to be is if it just sticks to football, if it makes the game fun, if it makes the game affordable. And they don't do anything crazy or ridiculous to try to draw attention to themselves. There were moments 20 years ago where the XFL was like, tune in on Sunday, we're going to set somebody on fire. Like, it was like, wait a minute, I'm not tuning in for that. Like, tune in next Sunday, we're going to have, you know, circus clowns, and we're also going to have an alien come down from space. Like, wait a minute, if you're trying to sell me something other than football, then what do you really have? Are you mean to tell me you're putting millions and millions of dollars into uniforms, coaches, practices, travel, everything that goes into a game? And the only reason you want me to watch is because that you might have a camera in the cheerleaders' locker room at halftime? Like, is that it? That was the XFL's biggest problem 20 years ago, was that they kept saying, watch us for 100 other reasons other than the football. And this XFL, at least in week one, and I have to throw that out there every time because I have no idea where this train is heading. Okay? But at least in the first weekend, none of that was there. It was, you know what, guys? We've got a really good football game between two teams. We think you're going to like it. And oh, by the way, here's some tweaks that we made, which we think you're going to enjoy. You ever wanted to listen in on a replay and in the process of going through a replay to see if a play is overturned or not? We're going to provide access to you. You might like it. You know, right? We're going to put cameras in the locker rooms, but to listen to the coaches talk to the players. Maybe you'll like that because you don't get to hear that in an NFL broadcast. You don't get to see that in an NFL game. We're going to be a little faster in our game than the NFL. Right, we're also going to do away with extra points in terms of kicking. We're going to have a different way of doing extra points. Is it gimmicky? Yeah, but we think you'll like it. I remember reading this thing about with Oliver Luck, and he said, in talking about the league and the way they wanted to set this league up, he said, "Look, we got all these different ideas of how to make our game more interesting, right? A little different, but we had to throw a lot of them out because they were too gimmicky." Because in the end, we wanted football and we didn't want the rules to be so dramatically different. Like, for example, he was saying that they once had a proposal that every person on the field was an eligible receiver. So you didn't have to go to the referee and go, the offensive tackle number 72 is an eligible receiver. Everybody was. Anybody could catch the ball. Anybody could. And they turned that down, even though it would have been interesting to watch, see how the coaches would develop that into the game plan. But he said, no, look, in the end, we're playing football. We can tweak a few things. We can make our league a little different. We can go with some kind of ideas that we think might work. But in the end, we do not want to take away from football. And that's not football. Your offensive linemen are not eligible receivers, and they're not going to. So these were the decisions that this league made. Good for them. Good for them. Because this is how this is going to make it. It's going to make it in each individual market that is going to draw fans to it, draw people buy product, people go to the games, et cetera, et cetera. And also people just have an interest in watching it on TV. We're getting closer and closer, though, and this is the key, and we were talking about this earlier this morning. We're getting closer and closer, though, to a point in our calendar where it's going to get really busy. February is kind of a nice month to sort of go, football's done, we're moving on. The NBA isn't quite ready to heat up. College basketball is still about a month away. But you get to March, You start looking at the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference in the NBA. You start looking at Selection Sunday in the college basketball tournament. Baseball's in spring training and is about ready to start up. You're talking about the combine, the draft, and all of those other things. This is where this league will survive. If it survives, it's got to go through this storm because your calendar is getting busy.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. I'm looking to hook up with Jerry Palm of CBS Sports. Talk some college basketball. You listen, we're at the midway point, as we said. I don't know if it's a midway point, but it's at a point where we got about 5 weeks, depending on, like, Selection Sunday is the 15th. Today is February 10th, so a little over a month before we gather around our TVs and you know, listen into the selection committee and how they're processing all this. But now it is time to start really analyzing teams and to where they're heading and what their, you know, how their season is progressing. Like San Diego State, Ron and I were talking about this earlier. Look, they're 23-0 out of the Mountain West. Great defensive team in the Aztecs. But, you know, what else is propelling them to this? How good are they when you compare them head to head against Louisville, when you a Florida State team, for example, out of the ACC, a Duke team, you know, the normal usual suspects in college basketball. Baylor has been number one for a while, right? They're an outstanding basketball team at, I think, 20-1 now after a win this weekend. But then there's also the middle of the pack of the top 25, and these are the teams that can be really dangerous come tournament time. Usually need good guard play and whatnot, coaching that will give you some, you know, get you prepared for a different variety of opponents that you're going to play during a tournament like, you know, setting. But a team like Seton Hall, as mentioned before, good win against Villanova over the weekend. I think Bruce Pearl has an Auburn team that is ready to make another deep run into the tournament. Samir Doty is a fantastic player for the Tigers. They just came off a nice overtime win against LSU, a team that had won 10 in a row and then just lost back-to-back games in an SEC that has LSU, Auburn, and Kentucky all at the top of the conference, right? Then you look at a team like Dayton that's in the top 10, right, out of the Atlantic 10, just beat St. Louis over the weekend. And there's a lot of ups and downs in college basketball. Michigan State, a formal number one team, has had some serious ups and downs this season for Tom Izzo. But you know what do you know about Michigan State? It's kind of a mantra we always say about the Spartans every time they get to the tournament. Izzo knows how to coach in the tournament, right? He knows how to get them up. He knows how to get them up for what the NCAA tournament is all about. So what kind of status does that team have at this point with about 5 weeks left to go to Selection Sunday? There's a lot of things to go around. I think the big question for me is there a lot of parity? You know, if you were sitting here again on February 10th and you were to say, give me five teams, or maybe make it a larger poll. Let's say I went to a bunch of you and said, give me 10 teams that you think could win the NCAA tournament that you know have, that are built to win this. Cause you know, some of these teams, you say, look, they're good, but here's the deal. You never know in these tournament settings, but these, you know, I don't have a strong feeling that in a win six in a row as the competition gets better, that they could do that. I think you'd have an incredible variety of teams if I asked you to pick five or even 10. Like, you'd have just all these teams that you think could be built the way they're built. Maryland is playing fantastic defense lately, and I think a good defensive team going into the tournament is going to be key. Right. That's why I think San Diego State could make a lot of noise. It's interesting because there's so much exposure of college basketball in our world. Like, if you're in cable, there's 100 games you can access to, both locally and nationally. There's like all sorts of different games. You can stay up late to watch what's going on in the Pac-12, and you should, because Colorado is playing great as well. I know they're 24th in the rankings, but they have given some teams some real fits. Arizona is good, obviously, and you know they're usually pretty decent. But and then Oregon is in around 15th in the rankings. But this is where you can really start sorting out and getting an idea of how well these teams play. We're talking about Gonzaga, and you know, Gonzaga Ron and I were discussing this with San Diego State. There was a period of time, and you got to go back now. This is kind of an old hat now, but there was a time when Gonzaga was a Cinderella story. And so every time that they would be good or have these good records, people were like, do they trust them? I mean, do we really know much about them? What exactly, right. What kind of team are they? And, you know, and this was like in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then you kept going, Cinderella, Cinderella. Well, they're done with that. Like, they're long past that, right? I mean, they played for a championship a couple years ago. They've been a consistent top team in this tournament for a long time. But San Diego State, this isn't their first rodeo at being really good, but 23-0, I mean, are they championship level good?
Yeah, and that was the thing when they were releasing the bracket, the bracket before all the brackets. I don't even know what they call this bracket.
It's like the mid rankings. Well, they were really
doing
mid.
It, and when they were doing it at first, I'm like, okay, are they rehearsing?
Yeah.
Or did I sleep through February?
They're calling it at the midway point, but teams have played 25 games now. Like, they don't play 50, right?
They're playing 50 games.
It's not like the All-Star break.
The one thought that went through my mind was like, all right, Gonzaga, okay, number one in the West. All right, that makes sense. You know, Gonzaga's been there consistently year after year after year. But then when they put San Diego as the number one team in the East.
Yeah, New York, yeah.
The one thing was going, okay, but they're undefeated. They're 23-0. Why aren't they getting more love than, say, Gonzaga?
I think there is a level of competition. Like, their resume isn't all that awesome. They don't have a lot of tier one wins. San Diego State. They beat Iowa, and Iowa's now decent, but they did beat Iowa back in November, but I don't know how much stock you put it in. There's no top 25 teams in the Mountain West Conference other than them. They do have a win against Utah, but I mean, Utah is, you know, a decent team, but they're kind of in the middle of the pack of the Pac-12. So they're not putting themselves in positions to go. I mean, they got to win against BYU, but other than that, it's Long Island University. It's Tennessee State.
They
do have a win against Creighton, and Creighton's in the top 25 now, but that was again back in November what are you going to do with wins back in November when teams are starting to get for everything?
Go off that. By that rationale, Gonzaga really hasn't beaten anyone either.
True. I mean, that's very true.
And that's where, you know, I mean, they have a couple losses on the season. I mean, they lost to Michigan. I don't know if that's a good loss, quality loss, if you will.
Yep.
I mean, they did beat number 14 Oregon.
It wouldn't be today. If they lost today, it would be terrible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Michigan's kind of falling apart. They did beat 23 Arizona, but I mean, they have like a good solid win over North Carolina, but we can't really give credit for that, right? That's not a quality win this year.
And we have a different way, obviously, of evaluating college basketball than we do college football, because we can see a college football team outside the Power Five conferences that go unbeaten, and we go, well, they're not Alabama good. Let's be ridiculous. Let's not be ridiculous here.
Oh, well, we said that about Clemson.
Right.
Who's Clemson played against this year?
Right. And in college hoops, you can start seeing, okay, that particular player, that particular style, that particular duo, whatever, could give Kansas fits, could give Louisville fits, could give Baylor fits. You can sort of, it's easier to project, right? Like I said, San Diego State's huge bread and butter is they play unbelievably good defensive basketball. It's very hard to score against them. I think they're giving up like 58 points a game. Like, that's their thing, right? So, okay, how would that work against a team like Baylor that can score and score a lot, right? That does that. Auburn, that can score and score in bunches, that have a number of different players. How about them in terms of getting in a physical game against Villanova, a physical game against Seton Hall, right? Those kind of questions. What would they do against a good defensive pressure by like West Virginia? Little questions like that. That's kind of the way you could evaluate it. But yeah, one of the things about this tournament, of course, is it's so wide open that there's a number of different ways to a championship. It's not like college football where people want the expansion of the playoff. I get it. But in the end, there's still only about four or five teams that could probably win the whole thing, right? This is different. College hoops are always different. There's the great equalizer and the three-point shot. The tournament is tough. The tournament is quirky. You never know who you're going to play. You never know what your night is going to be. But holy cow, when you look at the top 25, you can make a case for everybody to win the championship. Yeah.
But the one thing I do remember them saying is that their top four, which was Baylor, Kansas, Gonzaga, San Diego State.
Right.
There was a huge gap.
Between
four and five.
There is. And that's
five. Was that
that's
Duke?
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting because That's where this tournament and the style of this tournament, that's where it pays dividends, right? Yeah. That's where it pays dividends because you're right. If you, there is, when there is that kind of separation, what would you need to sort of allow the feeling of this is an open tournament, right? Well, something like what they do with this 68 teams. We're going around the country. We're playing on a Thursday and a Saturday and a Friday and a Sunday. And we're going to different venues and you never, it's a one shot deal. We're not doing best out of five, you know, that kind of thing. That's where a tournament like that lends itself to the fact that, yeah, we're not just going to hand this to Baylor or Kansas or, you know, Gonzaga or whatever, because they're so much better than everybody. That's where it becomes, you know, that's why I think the tournament is so fascinating. I've always said about the NCAA tournament, it's not the best way to determine a champion, but my God, it's probably the funnest way to determine
a champion, of course.
Right? I mean, it is, yeah. you know, you could have a team like UConn 10 years ago that was struggling just to get in, and then they got in and they were like, fine, we're going to be red hot.
No, I mean, it's all about a hot streak at that right moment. Every once in a while, you do get the top team.
Yep.
You know, like you said, I mean, every once in a while we are blessed with, like, this is the best team in the country and they're playing like the best team in the country. But, you know, you just get hot at the right time. You start playing quality basketball.
I think it was the year Syracuse went to Houston for the Final Four. I think they struggled to just, they were like playing their way in through their conference tournament and then just said, well, screw it. Let's win some more games while we're at it and just keep rolling along.
But then every once in a while you get that Anthony Davis-led Kentucky team.
That's right.
Clear, far and away the best team ever, like one of the best teams ever assembled.
Or the year Kevin Love played at UCLA and you had all number one seeds in the Final Four for the first time like ever. Right? I mean,
which is amazing.
That's amazing. So it is good that way. But there's a lot of dissecting that goes on, and I think that I find a team like San Diego State fascinating because they could be undefeated going into the tournament. And they're so much better than the teams in the Mountain West that if they had a night off, they would get beat. But at their best, I don't think anybody in the conference could beat them. I don't think Colorado State, who's having not a bad year, I don't think they could beat them. So what, you know, that would be a focus. And we've had undefeated teams go into the tournament, but they just haven't closed out the deal. I don't know if they're close out the deal good, right? I don't know. Because listen, but when you get to this Elite Eight, now you're like, you have the potential of running through Baylor and then Duke and then Kentucky or whatever, like, you know, or Kansas. Like, that's when it gets tough.
Yeah, when you're doing it back to back, or not back to back, but every other night. That's what makes, you know, when you think back to UCLA, that streak.
Right, exactly.
That is just mind boggling. That's why we know it'll never happen again.
Yeah, and
it's
also
not possible.
As you're winning games and everybody knows you're winning games, now you're getting everybody's best shot, right? Like, now you're getting everybody's best. Like, you're like, I may not be having a great year, but if I knock you off, like, I would make my life, right? And they still had to hold off all of those people who are gearing up for that one game where every game, when they're going to your place, it's a huge deal for the opponent. And you got to put up with all of that. And that's where sometimes the undefeated streaks come to an end, because you do get to a point where you're getting everybody's most emotional game on their schedule. A team that's like 14-9, they're playing you on a Tuesday. Okay, well,
like tomorrow night, San Diego State hosts New Mexico, right? I mean, New Mexico, I don't think, is going to make the tournament this year.
Yep.
But they would hold this over, I mean, these players would hold this for the rest of their lives. They're going, oh, you know what? I played basketball for New Mexico. We took down, you know, the undefeated Aztecs.
Yep. It's funny. It's funny how that works out. It's funny how it works like that with fans, and what they remember, you know. All right, again, 800-224-2004 or on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Glad you could be with us on a Monday on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. This hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. By the way, I do want to thank everybody who tweet the show every morning. I want to thank all of you for doing that, participating in the program. I know it's can be hard to be like on your way to work, and you know you want to, but we do appreciate it. I do. I really do, especially those who got on me for the soccer thing on Friday. So Thanks for reminding me of that. It was very good, Ron. Well, it was very good.
MLS.
MLS. So when does that season start up again?
I think in a couple of weeks.
Couple of weeks?
Yeah. They were right around the corner of MLS season. Put it on your calendar, opening
Man,
day.
Man, February is just, it's like February is like the, February is like the necessary, like downtime you have when you're having, like when you're out having a good time and they're like, nope, you need to lay down. You need to lay down for a couple of hours before you get up.
Yep. End of the month, actually. February 29th is, looks like the first day.
There you go. There you go. That's the month of, that's between Super Bowl and like end of the month towards the beginning of March, like when conference tournaments get kick-started. It's like sports world goes, take a break, breathe, lay down and drink this juice, and you're going to be fine. And then you're going to get up, and then you're going to go right back to what you were doing. But for right now, you need to take a time out. It's like when you were a kid, your mom said, sit down. Like you would eat something, you want to go right back in the pool. She's like, no, because you're going to drown. Because you ate a sandwich and you're going to drown in that 2 feet of water at the kiddie end of the pool. That's the way it works. If you go swimming within a half an hour after eating, you're dead. And you're like, oh, I'm scared. I'm going to sit out of the pool. That's what February is. It's just like a downtime. Yep, you get a little NBA, some fun stuff here, some fun stuff there. But nothing is. Then March kicks in and we're off to the races. And then April. April's my favorite sports month in the calendar. I like it more than October, and I love October. I love October, but I like April. I think you get so many different things in April that are just kicking around. Golf, you got the basketball playoffs, you got the hockey playoffs, you got the NCAA finals, you got baseball starting up, you got the draft at the end of the month. It's too many good things, but February is, everybody calm down. Although the Daytona 500 is coming up on Sunday, so, you know, I know that's a big deal to all of my racing friends who are excited about NASCAR. The Daytona 500, the Great American Race, is coming up on Sunday. So you do have that. But otherwise, it's pretty, it's just to take a little break and breathe it in and enjoy before you go right back into the pool. SB Nation AM.